coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And we start today's broadcast with a Facebook question from Tracy. I'll see if I can make heads or tails out of it. It says, in Genesis 16, you have the story of Abraham and Sarah. My question is in reference to what took place with Hagar and the result, Ishmael. Sarah so badly wanted a baby and didn't wait on the Lord, having her husband Abraham sleep with her maidservant Hagar to have a baby boy, Ishmael. We can read the result of that and where it led. Do you feel that the purchasing and or sharing of eggs and sperm between people is going against God's will? Is it somewhat like the story we read in Genesis? And I think that's a pretty good question, actually. The story of Abraham, Sarai, and Hagar does indeed offer insight into the quagmire of surrogate reproduction. The introduction of third parties through sperm or egg donation or through surrogate motherhood is inconsistent, from my perspective at least, with the biblical pattern of continuity between procreation and parenthood. Accordingly, if in vitro fertilization is used at all, the sperm and the egg must come from the husband and the wife who are committed to raising the child. The potentially disastrous consequences are aptly pointed out by Tracy in the prologue to the question. When you have third-party involvement, there are going to be problems. And you see that in the lives of Abraham, Sarai, and Hagar. One other point on this before we go to our callers. I think it's an established scientific fact that most people today are aware of. Human life begins at conception. An embryo has a distinct genetic code and exhibits metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and the like. And thus, discarding an embryo or destroying an embryo through experimentation is the moral equivalent of killing innocent human beings. Freezing embryos, I think, is morally objectionable as well. So if in vitro fertilization is used, no more eggs should be fertilized than the couple is willing to give a reasonable chance at full-term life. Well, we've written about this whole quagmire in many different forms, including the Christian Research Journal, as well as my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. A lot of callers hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines now. Let's talk first to Joe, Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
First, like, thank you. You know, I came out of Word of Faith Church is about, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago as a result of your ministry and, the Christianity and Crisis, that whole series that was just, you know, a blessing to my life, turned my whole life and my family's life around.
Oh, wow.
And, thanks for that, first of all. And second of all, you know, I just wanted to ask you about, you know, since the turnaround and and my thinking and everything, my view is kind of shifted more to a Calvinistic type of view.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been attending a church, an AME church, and they have more of a Wesleyan slant And I mean, I enjoy the worship there. People are fantastic, you know, and they really discipling people, and they do a great job there. But I do have, I do have some disagreements in, you know, of course, on there, you know, how they view grace and, you know, and how man has fallen and, you know, and eternal security, you know, and that issue. And I'm wondering, is it possible, you know, to attend, you know, a church that, you know, where, because I'm thinking that this is one of those issues because people do get, you know, are saved there, you know, and they do come to know Christ there. But I'm thinking that this is one of those, you know, debatable issues that we shouldn't divide over, or maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I think this is one of those issues you can debate vigorously and grow as a result of the debate. In fact, in the Christian Research Journal, we actually modeled a debate between a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist, and it was a collegial debate. But I think in the process, what happens is you're driven into Scripture to see what does the infallible repository of redemptive revelation say when you learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. So I think that kind of thing is very instructive. But whether you believe in libertarian freedom or compatibilistic freedom, you can certainly stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. It's not a game changer. It's a significant issue, but it's not a deal breaker.
Okay, and that's what I was thinking. Okay, I feel better now.
Well, I feel great too. Just talking to you, the encouragement you gave me at the beginning of your question is significant, and I thank you for that.
Oh, no problem. One more question. Can you listen live to your? I don't think you guys are on the air in Atlanta here, on the radio.
Yeah, you can listen to it live on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
You got it.
And you can also listen to it live on XM 170 if you got XM.
I don't have XM, but I do have the internet, though.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Hank.
You got it, Joe. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Derek next. He's listening on the web, Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Hank. I'm calling about a question about Galatians 5:19.
Yeah.
Now, it talks about all the sins that you're not supposed to commit or you'll go to hell. And I want to know if people couldn't follow the law of Moses, perfectly, how are we supposed to follow this part of the scripture?
Well, remember that Jesus Christ actually amplified this more than anyone else in the Sermon on the Mount. He made it absolutely clear that there's no possibility whatsoever to keep the law on your own accord. And therefore, his disciples were left, as it were, scratching their heads, saying, as a result of the Sermon on the Mount, how in the world can anyone be saved? Because Jesus actually ends the Sermon on the Mount with the words, be perfect there, even as your heavenly Father is perfect, or at least that's the end of a chapter. And the disciples must have thought, who then can be saved? And the enigmatic response of Scripture is, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's the essence of what we read in the book of Romans. It's not our righteousness. It is a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So putting on the full armor of God, we learn to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when we do, we recognize that righteousness is the core of Christianity compressed in a single word. Because the gospel of righteousness from God is revealed as a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. This is the righteousness to which the law and the prophets testify, says Paul in Romans 3. And this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So again, I think this is the answer to the question. It is the answer to the question of the ages. How can I be made right with an all-holy God when I am so unrighteous? cults and world religions have one answer. You know, you have to become acceptable to God by something you do. Christianity says it's not what I do, it's what Jesus Christ has done. It is D-O-N-E. It's done through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness laid to my account.
Okay, so actually you're talking about grace.
Yes, God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk next to Don, listening on Bot Radio in Mississippi. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
Good,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is on the six-day creation. Was it just Adam and Eve that was created, or was other races created, or other men and women besides Adam and Eve?
Adam and Eve, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact time and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us.
Okay. I've had discussion with several people who believe that other people were created at the same time, that it's impossible for just one man and one woman to populate the earth. I mean, is there other places in the Bible that I could go to show that? Or
Well, I can tell you it's not impossible. It's not impossible. I have 12 kids, and I've only lived a very short life compared to Adam and Eve. They lived almost 1,000 years. So
right.
It's not impossible. I mean, I'm practically populating the earth. And, you know, me and my little wife in a short period of time. So, no, it's not impossible at all. Why would
okay.
it be impossible?
I don't think it is. I believe that it was just Adam and Eve that was started. I mean, I even showed, you know, or said that Eve is the mother of all living.
Yes, and that's
and
right.
They're trying to tell me that because of through the seed up to Jesus, because Jesus saves all, that she is the mother of all living. Because Jesus saves all the living.
I'm not sure I understand the argument.
I couldn't figure it out either. I don't know where they get their understanding from. But
well, I like what you've done. You've gone to the Word of God. And here's how we look at it as Christians. I quoted a biblical text. Now, I can't just say, well, this is what I believe. You say, why? I say, well, the Bible tells me so. You say, how do you know the Bible is true? And that's the operative question. We can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. If you can do that, then the words of Jesus Christ, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through men who wrote the scriptures, is enough to tell us what happened. So we accept what the Bible says because we can accept the Bible as an authority because it is something based on truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality, and that's what the Bible does.
Right. And that's what I try to do, is go to the Bible, which I've learned from listening to your program and reading your books. And, I mean, you know, some people just, you know, don't want to listen, I guess.
Well,
they have their beliefs in these other people that they listen to and watch on TV. And, like, I just started reading your Christianity Crisis, 21st Century. And, you know, I was talking to somebody, you know, who's a big Joel Osteen fan. They're like, there's no way he teaches that stuff. I'm like, well, you just got to listen to him.
You know, it's funny. I had that complaint all the time about Kenneth Copeland. No way he teaches that stuff. And so we put together a tape called Christianity in Crisis. And you can actually listen to these teachers defend and define doctrines. So in other words, they're not just saying something in passing, but they are defending what they're saying, and they are, in some cases, as you can hear on the tape, mocking those who believe otherwise.
Wow.
So
okay.
Yeah. I mean, and you can look at the book. I mean, it's highly documented. This is not just a text taken out of context here or there, or a statement taken out of context. This is listening to what they say, what they teach, and fairly representing their theology.
No, okay, I'm going to have to order that. All righty, thank you, sir, very much for your time.
You got it, Don. Thank you so much for your call. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Every day I let people know that we need your support. And that is particularly true as we come out of the month of August. This is the last day of August. The summer is always brutal. We always get behind, and so when you start thinking about giving again and listening to Christian ministry and seeing the results of Christian ministry in September and beyond, please remember this ministry. It has borne abundant, abiding fruit all summer long, and we need to catch up. And also, this ministry is bearing abundant, abiding fruit, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, including now in a very significant way in China. So we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. The best way to do that in a safe, secure fashion is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. As my way of saying thanks, I'll send you lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. It is one of the most significant resources that I've produced. It's brand new this month. Again, for your gift, we'll send it out to you. We'll be right back.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, the biblical concept of family, and much more. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Thank you. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS, available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers. Merce, listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hank.
How are you?
How are you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I want to thank you for always saying read the Bible for all it's worth. It's really helped me see some things, and I greatly appreciate that. I never have forgotten that, and as a pastor, I pass that on to my congregation and tell them, don't be fooled by what you hear, but read it for all it's worth. Quick question for you.
Sure.
I have this dilemma that I've been having. We record our sermons, and, you know, I have a lot of other resources that I'm attempting or am providing for our congregation and other people, and whether they're books or CDs or DVDs and things. And my question is I can't find, I'm trying to find biblical reference to give me the support for charging people in order to purchase those resources to help their walk.
Yeah.
And it's something that I fight with, and I've been fighting with and battling with for years. And I just don't know, you know, I read in scripture where Jesus tells his disciples, you know, go and preach the word. If they don't feed you anything, dust your shoes off and go on to the next place. I read freely you receive, freely you give. I'm confused. I'm stuck.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say this. Just as a principle, I believe in Christian capitalism, which means responsibility associated with wealth. It's not how much you have that's at issue. It's what you do with what you have. And that's not just true of your treasure. It's true of your time and your talent as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some issues that arise in Christian ministry. For example, I'm the president of a nonprofit organization, and I'm constantly telling people about books that I have written. Now,
right.
If, in fact, I make a profit by putting a book into someone's hands, it does start to weigh on what's the motivation. Is the motivation to help someone, or is the motivation to sell books? Now,
right.
In a 501c3 nonprofit organization, there are a couple of restrictions. You can't have what's called inurement, where what you're doing is for your own benefit, and therefore you can get away with promoting your own books as long as you promote other people's books as well.
Right.
However, it's still a gray line, and so I have chosen, as the president of the Christian Research Institute, to get rid of the gray line and make it black and white. So I
right.
say anything that is sold through this ministry in any way that I've written, mm-hmm. whether a tape or a CD or a DVD, a book, it doesn't matter. 100% of the profit goes to CRI, and I get 0%. Now, that makes
right.
it very easy for me because I don't have to deal with mixed motives.
Right.
But that's not absolutely required in most organizations.
Right.
So I think that the issue becomes a workman is worthy of his hire. If
right.
if you have poured your life into something, you own the intellectual property rights on it,
right.
There's nothing in the Bible that would tell you that you cannot profit from it. But remember
right.
what is in the Bible is that we should work out of selfless as well as instead of selfish motives. So we should work ultimately not to extend our own kingdom, but his. And so
right.
I think this is a dilemma that you have to deal with in the private closet with yourself, with your family members, your wife, and bring it before the Lord who knows your heart and say, Lord, I want to extend your kingdom. this is not about me, it's about your kingdom. But there's nothing wrong with you having money. When you have money as a result of producing something, now you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is, what do I do with it? Because we're all going to give an account for what we did with what we had. So this becomes something of conscience as opposed to a fixed principle in Scripture. You have to obey the laws of the land, obviously, but it becomes a matter of conscience.
And that's where I've been, because I've always asked myself this. It would be hard for me to sleep with myself if I created a resource or if I finished a project and someone who really needs it to come to Christ, and I don't know that. And the only way that they can get it is by paying whatever the cost is. And if they don't have it, I don't ever want a price tag to hinder somebody getting something that I believe can really help them in their Christian walk, or more importantly, someone who doesn't even know Christ. And so I fight and struggle with that back and forth, because it costs to do those things. And when we produce the things that we do, I tell people, they ask me how much it costs, and I tell them, you know, we take donations, but it doesn't cost you anything. Well, that doesn't get us much. And so then I ask myself over and over, and I ask God, I say, now, you know what we need and what we're trying to do, but people don't want to freely give. They just want to take, but no one wants to support.
Yeah, I think that you are well within your rights to take something that you have produced and to sell it. And again, your conscience now becomes your guide in terms of what you do with what you have. And that, again, is the principle of Christian capitalism. It's responsibility associated with what God gives you in terms of time, talent, and treasure. So I don't think that there's anything in the Bible that would preclude you from, as long as you're operating in accordance with the laws of the land,
right?
There's nothing that would preclude you from making a profit on the tapes, as long as, again, you're operating within the laws that are laid down for churches. And again, with nonprofits and churches, they're slightly different. But again, the principle is there can't be annulment, which means that you can't set up a nonprofit that's supported by tax-deductible dollars as a means of personal enrichment.
Well, thank you so much, Hank. I listen to you every night on my way home, and God bless you, and I wish us and me and my church, we wish you God's favor, and may He continue to shine His grace upon you, and keep up the good work. Take care.
Well, thank you, Merce. I appreciate your compliments and your comments, and the same for you as well. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Steve, listening in Utah. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You probably don't remember me, but we met in Gilroy at a little tiny church many years ago, in the back of the church, where you signed a book for me and actually mailed it to me. And I was a new believer, and I called you about 100 times until I got the book. I was so anxious, but that's been some time ago. But I appreciate everything you've done and so far.
Oh, thank you.
We actually can't afford to support you directly, but we support the station you're on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Regularly. So we're working towards that. But Hank, my 6-year-old now asked me a question that I don't have a clue on how to answer it, and I said, you know, let me call Hank, but he's right here, and I don't know how to couch it better than him, and I was hoping that he could ask you directly.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be fun.
His name is Pule. Here's Pule.
Hi.
Hi, Hank. Why does the devil like darkness, but the fire has light?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, here's the answer to that question. You know what a metaphor is? A metaphor is what's called a figure of speech. So if I say to you, it's raining cats and dogs, what do I mean?
You mean it's raining cats and dogs?
Yeah, I don't actually mean, though, cats and dogs are falling out of the sky, do I?
What?
I don't actually mean that cats and dogs are falling out of the sky. I mean it's raining hard, right?
Yeah.
So it's a figure of speech. It's a way of saying it's raining hard. And that same thing is true with biblical metaphors or biblical figures of speech. So what is being communicated is that hell is a horrible condition. And that horrible condition is communicated by figures of speech like blackest darkness forever. I mean, think about being in blackest darkness forever. That's a horrible thought. Or think about a lake of burning sulfur or a fiery lake of fire. These are all ways of communicating the horror of being separated from the love and goodness and grace of God for all eternity. So they're metaphors, they're figures of speech. It's a way of talking about just how horrible hell is, but you can't take it as literal, which is to say hell is real, but the figures of speech that are used to describe it are different ones that are trying to point out how horrible it will be to be separated from God. Just as when I say it's raining cats and dogs, I don't mean real cats and dogs are falling out of the sky, but I do really mean it's raining hard. That's the same idea. The metaphors underscore just how horrifying it is to be separated forever and ever and ever apart from the grace and goodness of God. Make sense? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did you get it? Do you understand?
Well, I got a little bit of it. Well, when you say it's raining cats and dogs, you don't really mean it.
Yeah, I actually mean it's raining hard, though, don't I?
It's raining really hard?
Yeah, if I say it's raining cats and dogs, I mean it's raining really hard. If I say I had a bout of depression, I'm still talking about being depressed, but I'm using a figure of speech to communicate it, and that's what the Bible does. It uses, if Jesus is called the bread of life, it doesn't mean that Jesus is a loaf of bread, right? It means that he is the essence of life. If the Bible says Jesus is the door to heaven, it doesn't mean that Jesus is a door. So these are all ways of speaking, figures of speech that help you understand. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, if you hang on, I'm going to send you a little flip chart I did that will teach you about all these things, how to read the Bible for all it's worth. You can go over it with your mom or your dad. I think it'll help you. So you hang on, and I'll get this into your hands, and I think it'll help you as you read the Bible for all it's worth for the rest of your life. So you hang on. I'll get it out to you. I am coming up to a station break. On the other side of the break, we'll come back with more of your questions. Please remember the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine no Christian home should be without, and right now, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal is available. If you don't have it yet, subscribe today on the World Wide Web at equip.org or simply call Resource Consultants 888-7000 CRI. Be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered countless questions over the years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that's why he's developed the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to equip you to be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Many of the questions we receive on the broadcast concern the end times, and that's why Hank has also written the Apocalypse Code, a tool to help you not only understand the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible as a synergistic whole. For your generous gift of $100 or more, Hank would like to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Apocalypse Code as a means of equipping you and furthering the ministry of CRI. Partner with us, just call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back after this.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, helping friends find their way to Christ, the biblical concept of family, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. And now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101.
To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations, and to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org. For 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been serving the body of Christ, equipping believers to know what they believe, why they believe, and who they believe. If the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast have impacted your life, we'd like to give you the opportunity to encourage others with your testimony. You can leave your testimony by calling 866-253-4656. Again, that's 866-253-4656, or by going online to equip.org/testimonies. Also, a special thank you to all of you who have continued to support this ministry prayerfully and financially, equipping believers around the globe. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return now to our callers as well. Corey up next, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I have been reading Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and wow, I'm just blown away by it. It's so informative and so frightening, and I'm only 86 pages into it. But my question for you today is this. I'd like to know if you could speak to which you think is a greater threat to the body of Christ, the threat from obviously heretical religions like Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, or these threats that are coming from the inside like Bentley and Osteen and all those?
Yeah, that's hard to say, quite frankly, because in both cases, here's what we hear from the Apostle Paul, even from among your own numbers. men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. The Apostle Paul also instructs Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. So I think it's really important for Christians to become grounded in essential Christian doctrine. When they are, they'll spot a counterfeit, whether it comes from without or from within. Certainly what's happening at the altars of churches today is frightening, because people assume they're safe because they're in a church. But right. That's a wrong assumption.
They would never open their door to a Jehovah's Witness, and yet they think Osteen and Benny Hinn are great.
Yeah, and this calls for discernment. We have to have discernment skills so we can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. It is frightening. And when I first started studying the Word of Faith movement seriously, I was absolutely appalled by what I found. This was New Thought metaphysics wrapped up in Christian terminology. It had a light veneer of Christianese painted over it so that it sounded good, but it was the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. I mean, this whole notion that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. If you speak words of fear, you bring bad things into your life. If you speak words of faith, you bring good things into your life. Even if you speak words of fear inadvertently, oh, that scared me to death, you're speaking death into your life. This is
a huge Scientology presence here in Nashville, and I think this stuff is absolutely as frightening as the Scientologists, if not more so.
Yeah, it's it is a frightening concept that is being introduced into churches, and really, quite frankly, it's inducing people to come to the master's table not because they love the master, but rather because of what is on the master's table. It's a give-to-get scheme, quite frankly.
Thank you so much for the book, and I'm looking forward to reading more.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your encouragement, Corey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Al next, listening in South Dakota on XM170. Hi, Al.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I'm trying to learn more about the different ways to interpret Revelation. And so I've read your book, The Apocalypse Code, and I'm reading Steve Gregg's book on the four views of the Revelation.
Oh, good book, yeah.
And I'm hoping you can explain for me what some of the important differences are between exegetical eschatology and partial preterism.
Yeah, well, first of all, Steve Gregg is a good friend. I've had him on the show quite a number of times and really appreciate his ministry, his character, his life. He is a thoroughgoing student of the Bible, so I greatly appreciate him as a brother and as a friend. There are differences between partial preterism and what I call exegetical eschatology. Now, just to define what I mean for people listening in, I use actually the symbol E squared interchangeably with the phrase, because just as in mathematics the squaring of a number increases its value exponentially, so too perceiving eschatology through the prism of biblical exegesis will increase its value exponentially. So that's what's going on in terms of principle. But it all gets back to the art and science of biblical interpretation. And I find many partial preterists that are trying to make a historical correspondence in the book of Revelation between a particular phrase that's used and a historical event. So you have 100-pound hailstones. Well, if you look at Tim LaHaye, you'll find one kind of an interpretation, and you say that interpretation looks like he had a newspaper in his hand while he was trying to figure out what Revelation was saying. I find that in some cases the same thing happens with a history book in the hand of a partial preterist who is trying to correspond the hailstones to something that happened historically, perhaps catapults being lobbed over the temple walls into the temple court, these kinds of things. So I find oftentimes that that correspondence isn't necessary because it's judgment language or it's figurative language. In the case of the hailstones or even the notion of blood flowing out of the wine press as high as the horse's bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia, I don't find any necessity whatsoever to try to make that correspond to something in the future or something in the past in a literal sense, because I think this is just plain old judgment language that was very commonly used, not only biblically, but extra-biblically in the first century. So interpreting apocalyptic imagery in this woodenly literal sense, I think, oftentimes will lead to an absurd conclusion. The Tim LaHaye Prophecy Study Bible is a great example of that on the newspaper end of the coin. Because from his perspective, he knows it's difficult to imagine that the blood of Christ's enemy would create a literal river that's as high as the horse's bridles, the length and breadth of Israel. So what he does is he exercises literary license, and in his study Bible, you'll read about hailstones weighing a talent or 100 pounds, and they fall from the heavens. Then they mix with the blood of a massive army, and that's what creates blood that reaches up to the horse's bridle. Well, even that doesn't really work in reality, but that's how he kind of justifies it. Because, again, the principle is he's trying to find some kind of a futuristic correspondence between the text and what's going to happen in the future. And again, I think the partial preterist many times in my reading does the same thing, only with a history book in hand.
I see. So would you say then that is there significant overlap in what you believe in regards to the timing of the events that are described in Revelation and what most partial preterists?
I think there is significant overlaps. There's a lot of difference as well. For example, most partial preterists are either amillennial or postmillennial. I'm neither. If you read my book, you'll recognize that, again, with the millennium, I think that this is a figure of speech that is used to talk about the quality of vindication for the martyrs, not a period of time. So it's not a period of time that happens after the second coming of Jesus Christ, nor is it a period of time between the first and second comings of Jesus Christ. I think it's a quality of vindication for the martyrs. So just as they will suffer for 10 days, their vindication will be for 1,000 years. Whenever I read 1,000 in the Bible, and I want to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, I always find that when it's used as a whole number, it's always used in a metaphorical sense. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, it has nothing to do with cattle or hills. It is a metaphor for saying that God owns everything. I will increase your number, God says to the Israelites, 1,000 times. Again, has nothing to do with an actual number. I will show loving kindness to 1,000 generations. It means God's loving kindness is everlasting. This is a metaphor, and we need to interpret it in that sense. Just as I was watching the golf tournament this weekend, and Tiger's putter was finally heating up. Well, when I say Tiger's putter is heating up, if someone knows golf, they know I'm not saying anything about hot or cold. I'm simply saying that he's starting to make a whole lot more putts. It's a metaphor. And the same thing we have to recognize biblically. When the Bible uses a metaphor, we want to interpret it in that sense. And we also want to be tethered to the text of Scripture such that, not to a history book or newspaper, but tethered to the text of Scripture such that our interpretation is not some kind of flight of fancy on our part, but it's always tethered to the text. So I don't want to interpret millennium or 1,000 years in some way other than a privilege given to me by the text itself. If the text otherwise is communicating this in metaphorical ways, and I can see a lot of examples, then I have liberty to look at whether or not this could be another example of 1,000 being used metaphorically in terms of a quality of vindication as opposed to an amount of time.
Yes, I think you made a very good case for that in your book, and it's one of the things that I've taken to heart as a result of reading of the Apocalypse Code. So I thank you for writing that and for your time today, Hank.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. There are other differences that could be noted, but again, I really appreciate Steve, Greg, and many of the people that have been involved in partial preterist writings. I've learned a lot from them and continue to appreciate them as brothers and sisters in the Lord, something we debate vigorously, and we always walk away learning a lot, and certainly we've done a lot of that at the Christian Research Institute with Steve Gregg. He's been a wonderful brother and an able communicator, and so together we've learned a lot and grown as a result of the debate. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, and a lot of you are, we'll get to your call. If you want to get your call answered in the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. You can start dialing right now, 888-ASK-HANK. For the next hour, I'll be taking your calls, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. For everybody else, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. See you next time with more of the show.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. Thank you for your prayers and support. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute.
Context. It can mean the difference between understanding the true meaning of what's being communicated and completely missing the point. Take your Bible reading. You'll be surprised how many in the church today are following teachings that are simply not biblical just because of the interpretation of a certain passage. Now, get real help in navigating scripture interpretation with How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. It will help you discern between good and not so good interpretations and know what makes them one or the other. With scriptural examples to show how to interpret biblical passages, it will help you understand more of what the writer truly intended. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, co-authored by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart, is available through CRI when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
We are engaged in a war. A war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.